The Ballad of Meng Jiangyu, Weeping at the Great Wall, recorded by Nathan Sherman on the 6th of January, 1982. Translated by Joseph Needham. Bought at the Temple of the City God at Lanzhou, 1943. First published in Sinologica with the Ao Hong Yin, 1948. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, deep cold and summer heat pass by. Suns and moons together revolving purify the heart in the end. A little while on earth, those who do good deeds will reach at last the western heaven founded of old. In the province of Qinzhou, Tianshui in modern Gansu province, in the Xian city of Jiangni, in the Fan clan's village, there was a local Yuan Wai official who often fasted and did many good deeds. He had no son. He and his wife fasted and gave alms for 3 years, and at last she bore a wonderful baby whose name was Meng Jiang. To such good people, the girl was a gift from heaven. The Jade Emperor came down from his throne, and the girl came down to earth. She had to suffer from evil spirits in order to be a lesson to ordinary people. Afterwards, she married Fan Sanlang, who was himself a golden child come down from heaven. In a world of plants, the rice comes first. In a world of dishes, the prince can eat everywhere. Yellow gold and white jade are truly valueless. To put on monk's robes is the most difficult thing. Once the great king of the mountains and rivers, grieving for country and commons, said, "My work ever increasing. 100 years and 36,000 days do not equal a half day's leisure of the Buddhist monk. My regrets circle always round one mistake, not to have changed the imperial yellow for the Buddhist purple. Originally I was a poor boy in the West. How did I come to fall into an imperial house? Jade girls and golden boys descend to the earth. The wheels of birth and death number thousands upon thousands. The erring people do not at all repent. The worldly care nothing for the actions of the past. In the three hells, their suffering will be unbearable. One day, the unusual happens, and in an instant, all is over. Even a man's own bedding will quickly disappear. All these worldly riches avail not in the end. Your well-loved children and wives cannot come to you. In your familiar places, no one will know you more. But bodily discipline and purity of mind brings happiness without sorrow." Now about good people and their way. Where they come from, how should I know? There was a man of the name of Xu, whose title was Yuan Wai. He lived with his family in the city of Jiangni. He fasted and did many good deeds. No sons had he, but a beautiful daughter. When 1 month old, she was brought forth to be named to go through the ceremony of godmother giving. Her father's name Xu, her mother's name Meng, her godmother's name Jiang, so did it chance. Thus she was called Meng Jiangyu. All wished her long life, happiness, and honor. In the first and second years, her mother carried her in arms. In the third and fourth, she did not leave her mother's side. In the fifth and sixth, they bound her feet. In the seventh and eighth, she embroidered mandarin ducks. In the 16th year, her body's growth was accomplished. Her father engaged her to the gentle youth Fan Sanlang. At 16, he had achieved the first scholar's degree, so then he took the girl to wife. She combed her hair and said goodbye to her ancestors. With tears rushing down, she honored her parents' high hall. Her husband's people quickly had come with flowery flags and feasting, with a chair of dignity and light. The chair followed the old Zhougong customs. She worshipped heaven and earth and bowed low to her parents. United into one, the two entered the bride chamber, and she lived right happily with husband and mother-in-law. Half a month had hardly gone before the tyrant emperor, Qin Shi Huangdi, began to build the Great Wall. Her husband's name was pricked, so he took in his hands the carrying pole and the ropes and baskets. Thus husband and wife were torn apart and scattered, the mandarin ducks separated and sundered. He spoke sorrowful words, making ready to go, while Meng Jiangyu watched him from the gate. He turned his head, looking back longingly, lingering loth to leave little Meng Jiangyu. "I am now departing to work at the Great Wall. You and the family must wait upon the old ones. In order that we may meet again hereafter, we must wait till the wall is successfully completed." The witch having said, he set off on his way, leaving Meng Jiangyu behind, full of tears. Now we will not read of what her husband did, but we will speak of the skirt and the silver hair ornaments in the first and second months. He did not return. In the third and fourth, she did not see him. In the fifth and sixth, the heat was difficult to bear. In the seventh and eighth, the autumn wind was cold. In the ninth and tenth, there was still no news. When the winter really came, the frosts were terrible. Every family was making well-padded clothes and sending them to those who had gone to build the wall. Meng Jiangyu made some, thinking of him. The pain shot through her liver and kidneys. "You have no brothers," she thought to herself, "who now will boldly bring you such warm clothes. Others have elder and younger brothers to bear to the border valleys, winter protection." Thus saying, she went weeping to her tapestried chambers, lay on her bed, and thought about him. Never has there been news of him nor tidings. Deserted and dolorous, I bide day and night. I speak not of the first and second night-watch bamboo strokes, but it seemed not long after, I heard the third from the bridge tower, and then at midnight, upon the beats of the drum, there came the spirit of Fan Sanlang. Weeping, weeping, he entered the chamber, stooped over the bed with tears falling. "I am freezing to death," he seemed to say. "Quickly make for me a padded gown." "Separated am I, so far from the family. The wicked king has sent me to build the great wall. Since boyhood by my books I bided. I have little brute strength. How can I be expected to do this cruel work?" Suddenly I fell faint and fell to the ground. Thus was I buried in the wall as it was a building. So tonight I, your lover, come to you this dream. Neglect not my words, like wind passing in the air. Continue to be filial to the old parents, and fetch back the bones and spirit of your husband. In this life I shall not now be able to return so far, but in our next rebirth we shall surely meet again. Many and many things, girl, I have to tell you of. But the cock crowed, compelling the spirit to vanish, reluctant to leave its love, it went out of the gate, withdrew to the great wall, and waited for the padded gown. Meng Jiangyu was very frightened and looked all around, but could not see her love anywhere near. She sat on the bed and thought on what had happened. Was it a dream or was it not? Whatever it was, it filled me with sorrow. He said he had met danger while working, was like to be killed and buried within the wall. His body all shivering with cold and frost, he asked me to send clothes and move his spirit to look after the old hall with piety and reverence and to guard my widowhood truly and faithfully. And he said we should some day be united again. How could it be but an empty dream? So turning to left and right in her sorrow, she could not help tears flooding out in the night, and so continued until the dawn. Meng Jiangyu got up and put on her clothes, combed her hair, made toilet and habit. Quickly she went then into the kitchen place, prepared tea and rice for the old people. Then going into the tapestried chamber, she gave them to know what the words and what the happenings in the dark night. "Your daughter-in-law must to the border pass. She wishes to deliver clothes to your son." Then the two old people rose up affrighted. Good daughter-in-law, do not be in such haste. The frontier is so far, distant from here. Who will escort you at your fourth ferry? Good daughter-in-law, you are but a woman. How can you travel alone and unattended? You should stay at home and minister to us. If you wait till our son comes back to this countryside, mother and son, man and wife, all then will be happy. Hearing these words, Meng Jiangyu wept again. You two old people, listen to my counsel. Others have elder brothers, others have younger. Who can go to the border pass to take warm clothes? None such truly. Has your son? How shall he get the clothing he needs? Himself he came to me in the dark night, and begged your daughter-in-law for a padded gown. Now is my mind firmly determined I must go to the border pass to search for Sanlong. If I am able there to see his face, we will both return to the family and countryside. We shall gather in the high hall and wait upon you merrily. But if it be that his face I see not, I shall die in the wilderness and not return home. This being said, she went to a small room and busily opened a gilded box, took out a few worm-padded garments, took out leggings and shoes, pairs two or three, rolled them all up in a bundle burden, shouldered it quickly, took all else needed, said farewell to the parents, and went on her way. Very desolate and sad were the two old people. But we will say no more of them and their sorrow. We shall read rather of the virtuous wife Meng Jiangyu in the midst of the way. Inly she resolved, how hard her journey, how to reach the borderlands she did not know. Pondering in what direction the great wall might be, weeping she walked and wended her way. Would that by a single step she could attain her goal. Mind mazed, step speedy, heart burning, head heavy, her head full of flowers, she fell at a certain spot, near where Guan Yin, the great goddess, was sitting on a lotus, whose ears grew hot, whose eyes swelled in her head. Her mind was perturbed. What now do I see? It is the virtuous wife, Meng Jiangyu, in anguish. Was she not once a jade girl in the heavens above, consort of the golden boy Fan Sanlang, now in the midst of the road in such great trouble, taking clothes to her husband, 1,000 miles, if I do not save her, what power will do so? Right soon shall I save Meng Jiangyu. She opened her mouth and called to her attendants, go to the road and attend upon the girl. Immediately they obeyed her holy wish. In a flash they arrived at the place in the road, lifted her up far above the clouds, to deliver her straight away at the great wall. With one single cloud, she sailed 3,000 li, fast and furious beyond her control, fast and furious, ascending and descending. She reached the great wall at noontide, was it? Then the cloud clearing, she looked down. There was the great wall, mountains and moorlands, and there she was set down and felt again the solid earth on which she had been born, while the attendants returned to the heavenly place and reported to the goddess. Suddenly she opened her eyes and wept with amaze to see the great wall extended before her. The width of the wall was several times 10 feet. To east and west you could never see the end of it. In her mind she wondered where he could be and how she could have reached this waste so weird. Wide have I been wafted by some holy spirits and so brought to the great wall. Immediately she knelt on the ground gratefully, giving grace to the company of the gods and thanking high heaven. So bowing she rose and straightway began her search for her husband along the great wall. While she was awaking, she lifted up her head and looked, and saw a field full of folk building at the wall. Approaching them fearfully, she opened her mouth and asked, you big brothers, please lend me your ears. There was a man from the town of Jiangni. Fan Sanlong was his earthly name. He was only aged 17 or 18. Where can I find him at work on the wall? Big brothers, please tell me if you know. I am his wife, Meng Zhangyu. Thousands of li have I come, bringing padded clothes, but as yet I have not seen where he is. They heard her words, and their hearts were moved. They thought of their own families and their own parents, and they too had brothers, big and small, whom as yet they had not seen coming with clothes. They thought too of their own, dear wives and lamans, good but not so good as the virtuous Meng Zhangyu. Good sister-in-law, you listen to our story about this man from the town of Zhangyi, whose name we understand was Fan Sanlang, whose age was only 17 or 18. Surely he was in Donggong building the wall. Every man suffered there 1,000 hardships, and we heard he died by the great wall in that place. Good sister-in-law, if more you would know, follow along the wall and inquire of our mates. Meng Zhangyu heard what they said, could not help shedding bitter tears once again, then suddenly fainted before them all. Her 3 Hun essences visited the world above, and her 7 Po essences, the home of the dead. Though the underworld king controls the affairs of souls, he has little power over those of people still living. So they were able to wander for a while at will. Coming to herself, she uttered such a cry that the jade emperor in his palace above was alarmingly stirred. Seated on his throne, his ears grew hot, his eyes swelled in his head, and his mind was perturbed. He shouted for his assistant, who can see 1,000 li. Below there on earth, who suffers so unjustly? The company of the gods immediately replied, Your Majesty, please listen to what we have to tell. On earth below, from the town of Zhangyi, a young conscript was taken, Fan Sanlang, his name. He was in the beginning a golden boy in heaven, and his wife, Meng Zhangyu, a jade girl also. At the great wall he met with danger, so that his bones and body are buried therein. Meng Zhangyu has come thousands of li with clothes, and now she is crying herself to death at the great wall. Then the jade emperor, in a passion, flew, on account of this jade girl, this suffering star, from the Ling Xiaodian pavilion. Orders instantly went out, summoning the dragon prince and all the company of the gods. The thunder duke and the lightning mother appeared as commanded. You heavenly spirits, pay heed now to my words. The place where Fan Sanlang was building the wall now contains his bones and his body. You must find them and hand them to Meng Zhangyu to take back 1,000 li to family and countryside. Thus the company of the gods received the jade orders. With good omens and clouds-like drapery, they descended from heaven's courts. Soon they reached the great wall in trampling and bustle. Soon there sounded in the sky a thunderous noise. For the space of several li, the sides of the wall were opened, exposing the white bones of Fan Sanlang. Meng Zhangyu, bending her head, looked at them closely, corpses and bones aglare under the blue sky. Meng Zhangyu pondered in her heart, which of these could be her husband's bones? Again she bent her head and deeply thought, what harm would it be to bite the middle finger? If any bones be those of her dear husband, the fresh blood would certainly soak and seep into them. But if they not be truly his bones, the blood would not enter, but run down to the ground. So she then bit hard upon the middle finger. It bled, fresh blood, streaming down in big drops. Immediately, Meng Zhangyu applied the test of blood. It soaked into the bones, showing they were her husband's. Meng Zhangyu was incredulous. Still did she doubt. Why not apply the same to some other bones also? So this did she do to 7 or 8 others, from all which the blood ran straight to the ground. Then Meng Zhangyu felt an ache in her heart. Embracing the dead bones, she cried bitter tears. Wept that she could not more see her husband. No more would they enter together the bedchamber. How pitiful, you that were a scholar, that the tyrant emperor should send you to build the wall. You said you would return home when the work was done. Who could foretell that at the wall you would visit the yellow springs? Think now of me, my love in the underworld, so that your bones may safely be moved home. So saying, she spread wrappings on the ground, lifted the bones tenderly, placed them inside, made up a little parcel tied with cords, with which she prepared homeward to fare. Now hardly was she started on her long journey than the wicked Qin Shi Huangdi came by that way, with officials and soldiers, noble and numberless, with spears, pikes, and swords like a forest of hemp, with ladies of honor and maidens in pairs, with canopies and fans bright like the sun and moon. In the middle there stood an imperial baldachin, under which sat stately the wicked emperor. Meng Jiangyu, terrified, dared not go near. She stood on the roadside with tears streaming down, till lifted up his head, the emperor observed her, a woman of the commons, before him on the roadside. Perfect in beauty was Meng Jiangyu. Then the spirit god Jiao Wu, much more excellent, desire arose in the emperor's heart, and he ordered the court maids to call the girl thither. The maids obeyed. No delay made they. Coming to Meng Jiangyu, they asked her kindly, "Whose woman are you standing here? His Majesty calls on you for an account." Meng Jiangyu could not but approach, bowed and called out thrice, "Long live the Enlightened One!" Then the wicked emperor opened his mouth and ordered them all to listen carefully. "Where do you come from, you young woman? Clearly relate to me your names and qualities. I would know for what purpose you have come here. Plainly discover your tale to the Lonely One." Having heard these questions, Meng Jiangyu answered, "May it please your majesty, listen from on high. I live in a small town called Jiangni, where the Fan family is of good repute. Fan Yi Shan was the name of the father, who fasted daily in front of the Buddha. The mother Li repeated the sutras. They took me when orphaned into their home. I, Meng Jiangyu of the Xu family, since childhood was engaged to Fan Sanlang. We did not expect my lord wanted to build the wall and would conscript the men of Jiangni. He, being a scholar, lacked physical strength. How could he do heavy work fit for laborers? So he fainted and fell to the ground and died and was buried within the great wall. My husband's spirit came back home, begged for warm clothes from me, his wife, and asked if need be to fetch his body home. It shivered with cold, hunger, and loneliness. Ah, your servant maid obeyed this vision. So came I hither to receive the bones, and being duly protected by the company of the gods, quickly I reached the region of the wall. Suddenly there sounded above a thunderous noise, which caused to tumble down whole lengths of the wall, by the power of the gods, revealing my husband's bones, which I was able to identify with the test of blood. These are the pains and sufferings of your majesty's maid servant. Is this sad, I ask, or is it not? The wicked emperor, having listened to all, said, "Maiden, now may your heart be at peace. Your face seems to me comely and beautiful. Follow the Lonely One to the court and be made a lady of Zhaoyang. But should you disobey my imperial words, how can you bear the crime of crying down the great wall?" The emperor then called up the axe-bearer to be ready to strike off her head there on the spot. Meng Jiangyu, hearing these words, bent her head low and considered carefully, "By disobedience I shall meet death and leave my husband's body in a strange place." Suddenly an idea dawned there upon her. "Your Majesty, the Son of Heaven, is all-knowing. If I die now, I shall not be filial. Give me 100 days to carry out your order." Then the wicked emperor burst out laughing and said, "Woman, be at ease. You shall not be harmed. Embroider a gown for me, the Lonely One, and then you may return home with the bones. Show me your gratitude by your willingness, and afterwards I will let you go freely with honor." Meng Jiangyu listened and wept, saying, "Your Majesty orders me to embroider a gown to pardon my crime. Then pray quickly get people to spin the silk for me. I will embroider a gown of purple and gold. Let the loom be placed for me on a square piece of ground." So Meng Zhang Yu joined up part with part, left hand and right hand, to and fro unceasing, upward moving and downward moving, weaving together the yin and the yang. On the front of the collar, she weaves the lion and seahorse. On the back of the collar, the phoenix and unicorn in pairs. On the chest, she weaves the Buddha of old sitting in state. On the back, the ancient trees firmly rooted. On the front of the skirt, she weaves the brown dragon going down to the sea. On the back, the yellow river passing through the Kunlun Mountains. The left-hand sleeve has the blue dragon establishing heaven and earth. The right-hand sleeve, the white tiger soaring through the three passes. The seven northern stars and the six southern stars are all woven upon the gown. The sun on the left, the moon on the right, surrounded by the bright stars. Now when the purple and gold dragon gown was finished, Meng Jiangyu asked the court officials to present it to the emperor. Qin Shi Huangdi saw the gown and was pleased. This woman is clever, so rare in the whole world. He sent for the girl to the golden palace. Meng Jiangyu went up, sadly pleading, Your Majesty has listened to my story. Your maidservant is stupid, lacking experience and knowledge. The dragon gown is unsuitable. Please pardon it. Now it is finished. Please release me to take my husband's body home so that I can bury it and then wait upon the parents. Qin Shi Huangdi listened and then spoke thus. Meng Jiangyu, listen to my words. The lonely one loves you who are so good and with your hands so clever. Certainly I will not allow you to go homeward. You must stay with the lonely one and be made a lady of Zhaoyang. You who wish to know how Meng Jiangyu took the matter, attend to the following and it will be clear. Meng Jiangyu heard the words before the court. Tears once again welled up in her two eyes. Suddenly a plan entered her heart. Your Majesty, be pleased to grant me an audience. If you order me now to enter your court, grant me, thy maidservant, three things only. For if I lack but one of the three, Meng Jiangyu prefers to die here and now. The wicked emperor asked what the three things were. Tell me here and now, in person, carefully. Meng Jiangyu replied, First, bury my husband in state, with jade and gold, as if he were a prince. Second, let all the state officials mourn, both civil and military. And your majesty, my lord, carry a hempen stick. And third, that the burial be nowhere else but upon the shores of the eastern sea. These are the three requests made by thy maiden. Lacking but one, they will be incomplete. Then the wicked emperor, listening and smiling, promised readily the three big things. If you will only comply with my wishes, even seven or eight would I gladly promise. He then called the court servants to bring the golden coffin, wherein were placed the bones of the prince. He proclaimed that everyone should put on mourning. He himself carried a hempen stick. Why not? And lastly ordered the coffin to be borne to the shores of the eastern sea, there to be buried. So everything was ordered quickly and well. The bearers of the coffin marched and marched, moving by day and resting by night until they reached the coast of the eastern sea. Then putting down the coffin, they started their labor in a place of mountains and waters, true and fitting. The bier stood ready, the coffin by the tomb, and Meng Jiangyu waiting by the cliff temple. Finally she knelt down on the ground, prayed to her husband, Fan San Lang, wait for me in the other world, so we may come before the king of that place together. When Meng Jiangyu had finished these prayers and arisings, turning round she thanked the tyrant emperor for burying her husband by the eastern sea, and all the officials for her presence there. Having bowed to them all, she knelt down again to her parents for having nourished and raised her. Four prostrations and eight bows solemnly she gave, did obeisance to the parents-in-law for their teachings. Meng Jiangyu was sorry she could no more wait on them. So having thanked all one by one, she turned to the enlightened one, speaking as follows, Your maidservant Meng Jiangyu is under a vow. How can I obey you, O evil king? Covering up her face with her skirt of black silk, and lifting up her two feet, she leapt into the sea. As for the wicked emperor, he could not stop her.